Well, good evening. I'd like to close in prayer. So much truth. Thank you, Samuel. I never got to meet my grandson, Asher, but I will. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. Pull myself together here. It's really good to have Luke and Lois here. I saw Lois and I didn't even recognize her. It's been 24 years since we saw the DeJagers. We were actually in their house in the tribe in Papua New Guinea. And then she pointed to Luke and I said, okay, Luke, I recognize. Then I put all the pieces together. It's so good to have you guys here. And we serve an incredible Savior. We serve an incredible Savior. I hope you never, never, never forget that truth. When I was in Papua New Guinea, where they are currently serving, I went there for my last year of high school. And I had a lesson that had a huge impact on me. I don't think I've shared this with you guys, but I was in grade 12. And all of a sudden, there was a lot of yelling and shouting outside our classroom. And my whole class, I'm from Indonesia. I'm not used to those sounds. I didn't know what it meant. But the whole class that I was with, they all knew. And boom, they're gone. I'm looking. It's me and the teacher. An Australian lady who was very somber, very serious, never got riled by anything. I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me. And I said, what happened? And she goes, just carry on. And I have a choice. There's 11 of my classmates are gone, and it's me and the teacher. And if I take off, she's not going to do a whole lot to me, even though now she's told me. I also said, ma'am, I'm sorry, and I took off. What is the fun? I had no idea. I get outside, and they're all running down the road, and so I went chasing after my class, and I began to realize it was a battle. There was a real-life battle taking place right next to the school property, and there's a school's here, and there's this hill. And there was a battle over that land. I guess it had been brewing for years, but it all of a sudden broke out, and nobody had any warning. And so I'm running down this road looking, and I can see up this hill. My classmates are all ahead of me. I can see up this hill. There's literally a whole line of men up top of the hill, a whole line of men at the bottom. They're shooting bows and arrows back and forth. And there's some braver men running in the middle. And the way they fight is they shoot arrows high into the air, and they're just dropping. And so you're looking at the enemy, but there's arrows dropping out of the sky straight down on them. So there's different men being hit, and I could see men falling. And that's pretty intense for a 12th grader to watch, a real-life battle. Literally, people falling and others running up and grabbing them and dragging them away, and some ladies are pulling people, and different people pulling people are getting hit. It was a very intense moment. And I ran down the road where most of my class was standing, and I'm watching, and I'm standing on this bridge, and I'm just watching. I was so taken up with the battle that also what I didn't realize, my whole class left. Again, I'm the slowest one in the bunch. I still might be. And so I'm watching this, and also I heard the sound. It sounded like hail, because I was on a bridge with a bunch of reeds in this river, and it sounded like hail on the reeds. I'm like, what is that sound? And all of a sudden, I realized it was arrows, because they were landing all around me, and on the pavement, ting, 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 I could hear all these arrows bouncing off all around me. Suddenly, I'm in the middle of the battle. I was so enjoying watching. I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but I was intensely watching the agony of this battle, and all of a sudden, I was in the middle of it. And I turned around, everybody was gone, and I just remember so vividly running as fast as I could run up that paved road and literally seeing arrows going ding right off me. One literally hit behind me and went right up between my legs out front of me, and I'm thinking, I'm dead. And I ran for all I had, and I got up by the school. I was out of range of the arrows again, and I was like, wow, that was intense. So I went around, and everybody's sitting here, but of course, me being me and wanting to see closely, I went a little lower than anybody else, and I sat down, and all of a sudden, thump. An arrow landed right in front of me. I grabbed that arrow, and I had that arrow for years and years until I gave it away. But I had that arrow as a souvenir of my own stupidity. And I remember that evening, and for the next while, as I was reading Scripture, when I saw words about battle and fighting, it meant something entirely new to me. And I realized that day, and it's had a huge impact on me, is that you and I are in a battle all the time, and we forget that. The little things, when somebody makes a comment that it bothers us, we got to stop and think, wait, I'm in a battle. That comment was probably not meant to be to hurt me, but I grab it and we start throwing arrows back and forth so quickly. If we would always remember that we are in a battle and every decision, every response, everything I say needs to be weighed into the fact I'm in a battle, that's a massive battle. It's a battle of the ages. I was in Spain when Alyssa gave birth. In fact, they texted, and I was in Toronto flying to Spain for meetings when Alyssa was first medevaced to Vancouver, and I'm thinking, what do I do? I remember even then thinking, Lord, we're in a battle. Help me to keep track of the right thing to do. And I felt, Kathy and I, we talked to Alyssa and Samuel, it was the right thing for me to carry on, to go to Spain. I got to Spain. I was there. It was actually 8 days before after Asher passed away before I was able to join them. And that was hard. I do want to say, like Samuel said, thank you for all your prayers through that. You folks were so gracious and so good. I remember being, after I got to British Columbia, twice in the 10 days I was there or 8 days I was there, twice a package showed up from Charlottetown Bible Chapel. You can't imagine the joy that that brought to my heart, that you folks, here's a couple you don't even know. You know us, but you don't know them. And twice, and maybe there's others, but while I was there, two packages showed up, just love gifts. Packages with food and just very nice, the thought through package. And I want to say thank you for that. Thank you for the love you folks show, and you show it to people all around the world all the time. That doesn't go unheeded. The Lord is seeing that. The enemy is seeing that. And that is really, really important. That's a side note. So I was there in Papua New Guinea. I was caught in a battle. And I realized, Lord, help me to never, ever lose sight of the fact that we are eternally in a very intense battle. As you read the news, don't read the news and get frustrated. Read the news with the realization we're in an intense battle and the enemy is taking every chance he's got. We look at the news and I get frustrated and I forget. I'm going to come back to this, but it's so easy to forget that even the little things happening right now in Israel and Gaza and how people respond to that, or the Olympics, and there's so many events around the world, Russia, these are all part of an eternal battle that we are in. Don't lose sight of that. I'm going to come back to that. Let's open in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so privileged to be called your children. We are so privileged to be able to call you Daddy, Father, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Lord, we get to call you our Savior. Lord, I pray as we just open up your word now, Lord, that you just thrill us again with the incredible privilege, the responsibility we have to really be soldiers in your army. Soldiers that are in a battle that has gone on for the beginning of time on this earth till the day you come back. Lord, I pray you'd find us faithful. Lord, I pray that even this evening you'd encourage us and challenge us with the importance, the incredible vastness of the responsibility we get ourselves caught up in and we forget of what's really happening around us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read to you Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to, I think, about verse 18. Jesse, can I have some Kleenex? I'm going to read from the Ephesians 6, but I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And I'm going to be honest with you folks, I often read from the New Living, and I often read from the King James, and I often read from the New King James. Tonight we're going to do a little bit of King James, a little bit of New Living, and I find personally that when I switch back and forth, things stand out that actually I've missed for years in one translation. When I read it somewhere else, something else jumps out at me, and then I'll go back and I'll compare, and then I have to do some studying to find out. Sometimes I'm thinking, these are a little different. We're going to highlight a couple of those tonight. Sorry to do that with the mic on. Maybe turn my volume off if I raise my Kleenex. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you have the New King James, read along with me, or feel free just to listen, because some of the wording is going to be a little different. Something's going to stand out to you. And I would challenge you to always compare that. Check it out. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in the might and in his mighty power. I often go back to my King James wording, that's what I memorize from. But in all of God's armor, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, I'm going to come back to that later, but pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. There it is. I'm looking for the clock. Sorry. It's changed. This passage is a passage that we all know, the armor of God, and we've taught it in Sunday school, we've heard it in Sunday school, we've heard it from the pulpit, we've read it, we've studied it, you've probably memorized much of this, but it's very easy to forget that this is a very real thing that we need to put on day after day after day and in every circumstance. When there's a tension between you and another believer, stop and say, wait a minute. Am I remembering that I'm in a battle? Am I responding appropriately? Even in this tension with my brother or my sister in the Lord, or real family, am I remembering to put on the armor of God in this situation? Or am I allowing the little arrows of the enemy to come into my heart and cause problems that give the devil incredible victories? Every situation, we must remember that. And I think it was 4 weeks ago, Kathy and I were on our couch. It was June 28th, I think. Was that 4 weeks or 5 weeks ago? Sunday evening, we were just getting up. We better get dressed for church this evening. Kathy was feeling strong that evening. We were both coming. I'm always excited about that. We were just getting up from the couch, and ding, my phone went off, and I checked. And there was a text from Lainey up in Callaway saying, pray really hard for Brant right now. What does that mean? I knew something bad had happened. Pray really hard for Brant right now. And that's all. That was it. So I'll never forget this. We sat back down. We were half up. We sat back down and we started praying. And as we were praying, I realized I have no idea what's coming next. I have no idea. But I sat and I remembered as we're praying, and the realization hit me like a ton of bricks that I'm going to have a choice to make. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust God, or I'm going to try and take it in my own hands. And if it goes badly, I'm going to have a decision of getting bitter against God, or I'm going to continue to trust God. That hit me so clearly, that moment, as we were sitting on the couch praying. A little bit later, it's probably about 90 seconds later, another text came in and said, four-wheeler accident, he's alive. Well, that sounds pretty ominous. Four-wheeler, but he's alive. Well, that means he could be dead, or it's really bad. And as the next 5 minutes went, we kept getting little texts, little messages that filled in, okay, he's alive, he's definitely going to be medevaced to Ottawa, he might not be alive long, his face is crushed, Lainey said, I can't even see his face, he has no face, his eyeballs are gone, his nose is gone, I'm thinking, oh my. And my wife, who's an RN, is sitting there and saying, I think we've lost our Brant. Now, she had just been through 2 days earlier, I didn't know it, she hadn't told me, but she had had a battle with the Lord. She was spending her time with the Lord in a quiet time, and all of a sudden she just had this huge impression to pray for Brant. And I don't remember all the details, but she started praying. But she recognized in her own heart there was something going to be happening with Brant. And in that time with the Lord, she had to say, Lord, I'm giving him to you. He's all yours. We did it when he was a baby, and I'm doing it now as an adult. And this happened 2 days later. So as we're sitting there on the couch and hearing the seriousness of it, Kathy said, I think we've lost our Brant. Because of the battle, she knows she had just given him to the Lord. I remember looking at her and thinking, wow, this girl's strong. She's not wailing, she's not gnashing her teeth, but she's heartbroken. I called Dave then from the, still haven't left the couch, said, Dave, I don't think we're going to make church tonight, but could you get the folks to pray? What a privilege we have that we can do that. What a privilege that in the worst of times we can stop and say, family of Christ, would you stand with us? Sorry, it's not COVID, I don't think. It's a good thing you're all far. As we're sitting there on the couch, the armor of God came to my mind that I must put on every piece in the days to come. We packed up our stuff, and within half an hour of the first text, we were on the road driving to Ottawa. We didn't know how long it would take him to get him there because they had to intubate him. They had to get an aircraft. And they had to get everything in, doctors and nurses and everything set up. So we took off. I checked my GPS. 12 and a half hours if I drive fast to the Ottawa Airport Air Hospital. They got there 3 hours before we did, but we were pushing hard all night because if we could at least get there, well, hopefully while he's alive, maybe we can at least talk to our son before he passes away. I didn't know. I wasn't even to the bridge when I got two e-transfer messages from brothers and sisters in this church with money they were already sending to help us with the trip. You have no idea what a blessing that is. People care. We stand together. As we're driving, Kathy was sharing me about her time with the Lord in the last 2 days and just turning Brant back to the Lord. And as we're driving, we got talking. So, you know, we are in a battle. That we had to recognize that. We talked about that. As we're driving, things started to come to mind. Do you realize that in the last year, and that was almost to the day, it was 1 year before that. I think it was just within a couple days. 1 year before. I think Brant was medevaced out 1 year from the day they flew in to start our first new work in the Arctic. People that need the gospel. Many communities with no church. We've had many emails asking, would we send somebody to bring the gospel to their people? That's why we're up there. So, Brant Laney are bringing the gospel to Iqaluit, to the north, to the Arctic. Do you think the enemy wants that? Not at all. As we're thinking, we started thinking through, do you realize too, as we're talking, we're in the middle of allocating. It's been 40 years we've been battling hard to put missionary teams onto the island of Saddam. I've shared this with you guys. 40 years. We finally have two teams ready to go, and we're so close, and there's a lot going on, and I'm in meetings almost two or three a week right now, working with our team, trying to help them go through this process of getting into these tribes, and they're facing so many things. We're in the middle of a battle. We're about, for the first time after 40 years, many families have tried to get into the Saddam Island. We're about to see it happen. The enemy doesn't want that. As we're sitting there, we're thinking of the Abrils and the Browns and others in this congregation. There's others in other churches starting to say, maybe we should go. It has been about 18 years since we've had a family from the Maritimes, the whole Maritimes, 18 years since the family's actually gone through our training and headed off overseas. It's been a long time from the Maritimes. That's why we moved out here. We know God is doing something. It's not us. It's not start. We're just part of this journey where God is raising up people in the last days to go to the darkest places of this earth. And I've never met a church that's facing what you guys are facing right now, with a lot of families saying, I'll go. That's going to cost you. And it already is. As we're sitting there, we're thinking through the Moy. We just finished. We had given our life and we served amongst the Moy, and they've just gotten the New Testament. The enemy is not happy with that. The Moy church is thriving. We just this week had one of our missionaries die there. He's a single man, a Papuan, raised up from one of our tribes. He's gone through a full training, and he's been 1 year. He's 25 years, a single man. He's been serving on our team there in Papua as a full ethnos missionary for 1 year. Our team was having their conference. My son, Tyler Michaela, had flown out. They were part of the conference. They were playing in the evening some indoor soccer amongst all our missionaries, and all of a sudden he dropped down, passed out, and died. We're in a battle. A real battle. This just happened. We didn't think of that because that hadn't happened. But as we're driving, we're thinking, you know, we went through 2 years. In the last 5 years, our training has been completely empty for 2 years. Well, 1 year, we had a few students. In the second year, we've never in our history had to close our training. In the last 5 years, we've closed it twice. Maybe the last 6 years. Because of lack of people. Suddenly, last year, we were full. This year, right now, August, we're almost full. Almost half coming from here. God is doing something amazing, and we had to recognize that. The enemy hates that. We have three children. One's in the Arctic, one's in Indonesia, and Alyssa and Samuel have said they're going. And we're thinking about that, and we stopped to realize, okay, in the last 9 months, all three of our children have been in the hospital in life and death circumstances. Asher was deaf. Michaela was in the hospital in January and with dengue fever, and that can go either way. Being here, we didn't know how it's going to go. God spared her, and she's doing great. Another big factor is, as an organization, we've gone through lots of changes in the last 20 years. I've been in this role now for almost 15 years. Oh, my word. Almost 15 years. And when I started to where we are now, God has done amazing things. And in the last 3 years, for the first time as an org, as we've had to make a lot of adjustments with internationalization and globalization, we are finally saying, wow, there's incredible strong unity in our organization. All around the world, 40 nations working in great unity. We've never had that in my memory in a long time, but it's going really well. We're encouraged. We're not spending time working through tensions. We're spending time, how do we get people out? And that's a wonderful place to be. The enemy does not want that. And as we're driving along, we had to realize that we are in a very, very real battle. So what I want to share with you, and I know time is limited, I'm not going to go over time. I'll stop when I'm done, because this is so important. But as we're driving in that night, we only stopped 3 times for less than 8 minutes every time. Pump the gas in fast, fastest run to the bathroom you've ever seen, sometimes around the truck if it's dark enough, and away we went again. We pushed hard. But we had a lot of time to talk and process. And as I sat by Brant in the hospital, I spent many, many hours and quite a few all nights with him. And some of the nights he was, during the day at least, he was sedated. It's when he was conscious we sat with him all night too. I had a lot of time to just listen to the Lord. And what I want to share with you is 7 handles the Lord has given me to think through in this battle that all of us find ourselves in. There's many more. I'm not going to even claim to give a full synopsis of what the battle is. But these are 7 simple handles the Lord gave me in the last month as we've been walking through this process. The first one is this, in 1 Timothy chapter 18. These next verses are all going to be from the NLT, and then we're going to switch to the King James. And there's a reasons for that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 says this, and it might sound kind of personal, but this whole battle has been very personal. Timothy, that sounds personal. My son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Samuel made a comment earlier that I just love. It's a quotable quote. He said, we are in a hard and a painful battle. What was next, Samuel? But it's a short battle. Asher's battle was short, but he said Asher fought it well. God wants to set you and I up to fight this battle well. All of Timothy and 2 Timothy are specific instructions to Timothy from Paul that he could fight this battle well. And the word battle comes up a lot in these two books. It's interesting, this word battle, sometimes it's warfare, sometimes it's battle. There are actually quite a few different Greek words. The word battle in 2 Timothy 4 is the same word where he says, I have fought the fight. That word fight is also the exact same Greek word is translated as race in Hebrews 12:1. It's this long-term battle, this long-term race. In the Greek, those are synonymous. They flip back and forth. So our translators, they use Greek or fight sometimes. They use race sometimes. Same exact word. Isn't that interesting? And then we get a little bit bent out of shape if somebody, but actually it's the same Greek word. In the King James, it's fight, warfare, battle, and race are all the same Greek word sometimes. Isn't that amazing? It means we have something we must go through and endure. So that was the first handle, that we have God's word, the scriptures, that we can fight this battle well. Asher fought it well without even being trained. He was 2 days old, and the Lord called him home. But he had learned to rest, and that's a lesson in a battle. We must rest in our commander. I'll come back to that one. I was jumping ahead there. Prayer. There is no more important weapon in your arsenal, no more important tool you have than prayer. And it's not just for me, but it's for each other. It's how we hold each other up. And I won't go back there to Ephesians 6:18, you remember, it says pray. And then if you just skip a couple verses down to 2:1, it says, I urge you, first of all, pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. This is what we do for each other. Dwight called me this evening to say that his mother was brought into the hospital. We could stop right there and we could pray together. Isn't that amazing? That's something the world does not have. Never take prayer for granted. It is the most powerful weapon you have, and you can use it anytime, 24/7. We all are the same. We all forget, but when it comes to mind, pray. I used to feel so guilty. I don't pray enough. I forgot to pray for that person. I had to realize I can't remember all things. Only God can. But when the Lord does bring it to mind, pray right there and then. Learn that to make it your habit. Pray. When the Lord brings it to mind. If you don't think of it, you're going to have to trust Him with that. He's so powerful, He can bring things to mind when He wants you to pray. Rest in that. 1 Timothy 2:1, there is that one, and also in Ephesians 6:18, if you're taking notes, about the privilege, and there's so many verses in prayer. This is, again, not exhaustive on prayer. That the third handle, well, I want to say this too. I have never in my life, as I sat there in the hospital, seeing my son totally sedated. They brought him out of his coma a few times a day and put him right back in. I don't know how they're amazing what they can do now. But he's totally unconscious. Now, I find out later he was having a lot of horrible dreams during that time. But he couldn't hear us. He doesn't remember us. But he remembers some context of conversations that his mind must have picked up on. But I remember sitting there. I've never felt my life so desperately in need of God's people's prayers. And I've never felt so held up by God's people's prayers at the same time. I remember sitting there, I'm looking at him, and I don't know if he's going to live or not, or if he's probably going to live, but we have no idea if he's a vegetable. We don't even know the damage to his brain. They thought it was looking good. We don't know if he's going to have any vision. Can you imagine being a young man with fourth child on the way, and he could totally lose both eyeballs? We have no idea the first few days. But as time went on, okay, it looks like he might have some sight. Maybe one eye. Maybe two eyes. And right now, by the grace of God, it looks like both eyes. There's going to be some challenges, but he's doing really well. I never felt the power of prayer like it during that time, that I'm seeing my son, and yet I felt really okay. God's people were holding us up. And I felt the need, and I felt the prayers. I'm going to share something else a little. It's biblical. This battle, brothers and sisters, is very real and very practical. And I'm going to say it's biblical because it is, but it's not from a specific verse, but it's from the context of the New Testament. This battle we are in is every day. It's very practical. It's at work. It's at home. It's wherever you are. You're in a battle. And I'm going to say this. This is interesting. Do you realize if you go back and look at the 132 appearances of Jesus, if you go through all the appearances of Jesus in the Gospels, you're going to come up with anywhere from about 130 to 135 times he appeared. Sometimes hard to tell if it's the same story or two stories, right? But about 132 times Jesus appears in the Gospels. Of those 132 times that he appears, 122 of them are in the workplace. They're in the marketplace. They're not in the synagogue or in the church. It's not here. This is actually a great spot to carry on battle, and the enemy knows that because, look, we're all close. But separate us out. Put us in our work spots. Put us where we do day-to-day life. Jesus appeared 122 times out of the 132 times, all but 10 is in the middle of the workplace or the marketplace. Because that's where the battle is. And we forget. We recognize listening to good messages. Oh yeah, there's a lot of spiritual truths going on around me. It's every day in the middle of the workspace. In your family. Here's another important one. Do you know Jesus told about 52 parables? I think it's exactly 52 parables. Of the 52 parables Jesus told, 45 of them are the workplace or the marketplace context. Almost all the parables are in the middle of everyday life. He used everyday context because our battle is everyday context. Lastly, if you go through the book of Acts, there's about 40 divine interventions, times that there was evil spirits or there's tensions and there's actually God had to intervene about 40 times in the book of Acts. Of those 40 times, 39 of them are in the workplace or the marketplace that God had to specifically step in and do something. That's pretty amazing. This battle is everyday, practical, and relevant. It's not a spiritual when I'm in church. No, it's not when you're having your devotions. It's when you're at your work and how you respond. It's when you're at home and your wife says something and how you respond. And that goes to the husbands and wives too, by the way. Wives, you're just as susceptible as we are. I got to make sure I say that now. It's a very real battle that we find ourselves in. This is not a game. Couple more, and very quickly, I'm going to probably be speaking on this on a couple of Wednesdays when I'm sharing. But another handle is the name of God, El Shaddai. You guys know what that word means? El Shaddai? It means the Almighty One. Another Greek, or it's actually regionally Hebrew, would be the All-Sufficient One. In the middle, whatever you find yourselves in, hang on to the handle of El Shaddai. He is all-sufficient. Everything you face, he is there. He says to Paul that when Paul is struggling with his eyesight or whatever the thorn in his flesh was, he says, my grace is sufficient. He calls himself the all-sufficient God. Hang on to the El Shaddai of our life. He is sufficient in every context. Any battle you find yourselves in, he is sufficient. I never did share. Yeah, there's even more as I'm just thinking. The last 9 months as a family, we've faced so many things. You guys know 5 days before Brant flipped, or before Brant had his accident, Rosalie's here with us. Kathy, Rosalie, and I, and Rebecca Vanderstoel were in a car coming back from Wyoming. We flipped the car. Not a good idea. The control arm in the back snapped. We all heard a snap. The car went crazy, and we were still doing a good clip, and we find ourselves hanging like bats. Rosalie's put bats in my car, my new car now, to remind us. I hope it's to remind us to depend on the Lord, to not hang like bats again. We flipped upside down. We didn't have a single bruise. No blood. The only blood I saw was in the cop's fingers. He's trying to figure out how this even happened, except for they could see a big broken part there. El Shaddai, he's the all-sufficient one. Another handle is in 1 Timothy 4:10. Let's turn there. 1 Timothy 4:10. There's so many verses I'd love to grab. I'm grabbing this one. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and particularly of all believers. Our hope is in the living God. Another handle as I was going through all this is, Lord, I want to hang on to you like nothing else. I want to cling to you like nothing else. Another handle the Lord brought is in 1 Timothy 6:12. Same book still. These are all just different verses on battle. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you confidently, I'm not going to even go into it, but we would believe the same. We don't hold on to eternal life because we'll lose it. My eternal security is safe. I am saved. I'm forever a child of God. I can't lose that. But he says, cling to eternal life. I believe that means cling to the perspective of eternal life. Everything you're walking through is eternal, with eternal consequences. It's an eternal battle we're in. As my son is flipped upside down and a four-wheeler crushes his face, there's eternal aspects going on here. The Iqaluit, the Inuit are watching. They're actually, a lot of them are taking note. Are they going to come back? Why? How come the whole family, how come their team had such peace through that? Typically, there'd be screaming, and the nurses know it. There's usually a lot of screaming. Our team was very quiet and trusting and praying. It's a testimony. It's eternal. This battle where he says, cling to this eternal perspective. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you to. Don't lose sight of everything you face is eternal. There's so many more verses, but in closing, I want to read three verses from the King James now, because they're more familiar, and I want to finish with this. Three verses. We are in a battle that is so real. As you even watch the news, you look at Israel, what they're going through. I was just reading in Friends of Israel recently, the nation of Israel has faced more efforts by other nations to be annihilated than any other nation in the history of the world. Why? Because Satan knows if he could get Israel out, he's won the victory. Before Christ was born, he was trying to destroy the line of Christ. But since Christ was born, he's still trying to do it because he can mess up what he sees in Scripture is supposed to happen. Satan is determined to destroy the plan of God. And a lot of it is right there clearly written out in history, in the Word of God, the history coming, prophecy. He wants to mess that up so bad, and he fails every single... I just loved it this morning in church at Grace. We shared there, but then Pastor Jeff was speaking, talking about Esther, and he commented how he came home, and his wife said to him, Zeresh, did you guys know that? It was Haman's wife. Haman's wife said to Haman, if you're trying to kill the Jews, you will never succeed. The world has tried over and over and over. They cannot do it. Anybody that reads history knows you cannot destroy Israel because God seems to always carry them through. And he's not done with Israel. As we think about this battle, let me read three verses to you. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. This is my cry to you when we're talking about the battle. Be sober, be vigilant. No matter what you're facing, you're in a battle that is real. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants so bad to devour you. Because if he can devour you, God has a plan. And if he can distract you, if he can take you off what God has for you, or God is leading you, if he can take you away from that, he's had a victory. If he can get you taken up with what someone said about you and you're not focused on sharing the goodness of Christ with those around you, he's had a victory. You're in a battle and Satan is after you and he's a roaring lion. But don't ever, ever forget this next verse from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, Satan is powerful. Satan is strong. Satan has a history of being horrible and mean and nasty. But God, who's inside of you, is far stronger than Satan. Rest in him. And the last verse I want to read, we all know this so well, Romans 8:37. King James again, because I love how it says this. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than, you cannot be a, how do you be more than a conqueror? The only way to be more than a conqueror is to know that you've won the fight before you enter it. If I'm going to go into a boxing match and I know at such and such a point his both legs are going to break and his arms will fall off, I'm pretty good about this boxing match because I know I'm going to win. We're more than conquerors in this battle we're in. But never forget, you're in a very real and very serious battle. What's happened in our family, we know it's part of the battle. Lainey said to me, Dad, I realize this is bigger than us. And I gave her a hug and I said, oh dear, you're so right. This is far bigger than us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank